Good old Pete. Yes, Pete, our Pete, the opposition leader, flounces back into town from his junket to Israel. No nuclear costings. There's a housing crisis on, cost of living crisis, a policy vacuum crisis. And what does our boy do? What does Gina's boy do? Starts a racism brawl. He's got zero chance of getting it up. His blanket ban on Palestinians. Not just that it's racist, it's absurd. Why wreck Australia's reputation in the world? Wreck it further with a bizarre ban of an entire people because they might be a terror risk. It's Fourth Reich, but as Labor, the Greens, the Teals and other indies such as Wilkie and Pocock will not vote for it. It is just a scam, a massive distraction. And the Palestinians can't get out of Gaza anyway. They're too busy being tortured, murdered, burnt alive and starved by the IDF. The Greens must be loving it because they're on the same ticket as Labor for once. The real opposition, Labor's real opposition in policy terms, for once not being called evil Hamas supporters. For a change. Yes, we have been scammed, Australia. What a waste of space. We've shared half a week in politics and media with this racist nonsense. I'll tell you what the scam is in due course. We've got some gambling gifts, meanwhile, gambling gifts for billionaires, some document shredding, some ABC clickbait to get through first in the wonderful, wonderful world of scams. Now, ABC's Q&A program was back to its heyday this week. Qanda used to set the news and current affairs agenda for the week. And this week it was back setting the agenda again after a bit of a lull. Just not in the way that they intended it, though. Qanda trended for days, as did Jane Hume and the other panellists. Until Pete's race scam, that is. Instead of hosting venerable voices like they used to, authorities in their fields, it's become politicians and media figures waffling on with their agendas. The one venerable panellist was economist Joseph Stiglitz, but Joe didn't get much of a word in because PK, the host, was determined to lend the floor to Jane Hume, Bill Shorten and Jackie Lambie. Bill defended the government, Jane bagged the government and Jackie was fed up. And Joe did endeavour, however, to explain some very basic economic to our finance minister, Jane. Jane would have none of it. I mean, check this priceless photo. Check this photo out. Check out the body language. It says it all. The deprecation. The what would you know look from Jane to this Nobel laureate. On gambling and the government's dithering over basic reforms to protect Australians from rampant gambling advertising, should they ban gambling ads? Well, there was a lot of prevaricating over this one. Jane piped up her thoughts on gambling. A little flutter was pretty good, she said. It's the Australian way.
Whether gambling is harmful or not, that is an issue of conjecture, but it is legal. It is available and people do enjoy it and they can choose to do it. An outright blanket ban is not the solution. It's not the Australian way.
Well, it used to be the Australian way for women and Indigenous people not to get a vote. That was the Australian way back in the day. But Jane, here's the thing. Ways change. And my way might not be your way. And then there is the small point, of course, that these people, these three politicians, are actually legislators. That's the job which they were elected to do. Change the way, change the laws. Smoking ads used to be the Australian way until they banned smoking ads, and that worked as a public health initiative, as would the banning of the ubiquitous gambling ads. It's not as if you can't still have a punt, it's just that you can be comforted that your children won't be sucked into it and become problem gamblers for the rest of their life. Neither the Libs nor the Labs have a policy on gambling ads yet. That's the point here. We're waiting for it 2 years down the track, following the inevitable report and all these recommendations saying they should be banned from Peter Murphy. It's been suggested that the government might introduce a partial ban, you know, a couple of hours a day perhaps, just to appease the gaming companies, not the whole hog. Maybe they could ban them between 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock in the morning. That would work for the gambling companies, which donate to Labor and Liberal parties. Anyway, it's still being thrashed out because the public unrest over the dithering is growing. People are sick of it. They don't need to advertise, and they know that they will get a shellacking from the media companies, these politicians, if they do. That is the problem, because the media companies make a lot of money from gambling ads. It is a growth sector, sucking people in, taking their money and advertising heavily. Blanket advertising, like Pete's blanket ban on Palestinians. Now, Bill Shorten, who was on the panel of Q&A, had his Kodak moment. Kodak, you might remember, was the company which hit the wall when digital cameras came along, when the Kodak Instamatic was no longer the Australian way. Bill was making the case, we shouldn't protect families. This is his point, really. We shouldn't protect families damaged by problem gambling because it might hurt the revenues of Australian media companies who've been disrupted by Facebook.
We've got ourselves in this wicked situation where now some of the free-to-air media need gambling ad revenue at any time in order just to stay afloat. Now, some of you might say, well, bugger them. Just don't worry. We don't need free-to-air media. But free-to-air media is in diabolical trouble, and that is the discussion which we're not having.
Now, who owns these media companies? Well, the largest is owned by American billionaire Rupert Murdoch and his son Lachlan Murdoch, two American citizens, energetic purveyors of the Australian way and the American way. From New York, what would they have to say at the News Corp Christmas party? Then we've got Sportsbet. Sportsbet is from Ireland, and we've got Nine Entertainment too, these poor companies. One word for Bill, schnookums. Bill, schnookums. Both parties already back the secretive policy of cross-subsidising Rupert and Nine and Kerry Stokes via the Digital Media Bargaining Code. We don't get it here. Small business, like taxing the auto industry in 1910 because blacksmiths were whining about their falling revenues. It is mollycoddling foreign media billionaires. That is the actual Australian way. That's what this is all about. And then Stiglitz had the absolute hide, the cheek, to point out on Q&A that Australia was giving away its natural resources to foreign multinationals. It's coal and oil and gas. It was a statement of the obvious. Total sense it made. We've been saying it here for years. Taxes and royalties. But that's the Australian way. Get plundered. Be bought off by political donations from the fossil fuel industry. The panel fell silent on this one from Stiggers. Don't you know you're talking about our donors? Except for Stutch from the Fin Review, the former editor of the Fin Review. Lovely guy, Stutch, but a huge champion of the fossil fuel sector, if ever there was one. Now, we're going to include a TikTok in the descriptions here if you check it out. If you want to see the way journalists should conduct interviews, check out this TikTok. It is impeccable. This should be the Australian way. Not ignoring your most authoritative guest in favour of political chipmunkery and agendas. So the scam is, the ABC's quando is now clickbait. Its audience in the Twitter backlash is higher than the people who actually watch the show. It's called secondary media. And then, of course, good old Pete. Good old Pete sallies forth and changes the whole week's agenda. Gina Reinhardt's hood ornament. He wants a ban on refugees from Gaza. That's a blanket ban. No matter, I don't know whether Pete knows this, there are Christians in Gaza too, as well as Muslims. Just everybody. They might be terrorists. Terror, terror, terror. No matter that we've been providing Israel with support to murder them. We must have a little shout out here to our local member, the member for Warringah, Zali Steggall, who called him out for racism in the parliament. She had to recall that comment just to be polite, but it was resounding. It's not as if the government's not doing enough on this front anyway, providing weapons parts to the IDF and letting 1,000 Australian Zionists fight for the IDF, then hiding it, refusing to respond to FOIs. The numbers are 7,000 visas denied for Palestinians fleeing genocide and just 3,000 granted. And since the start of July, the new immigration minister, Tony Burke, he's refused visas to over 2,500 Palestinians fleeing genocide and only given visas to 235 Palestinians. And yes, ASIO does do checks. Labor's new immigration minister is 10 times more likely to refuse protection than grant it to Palestinians anyway, despite Pete's whinging. And as we noted, it's not that they can get out too easily either, having to scrape thousands of dollars together to pay for some Egyptian immigration agent. So there's all sorts of lurks going on here. Regarding the silence about the Australians fighting for the IDF, I mean, are they going to be able to hop on the NDIS for all the trauma they've suffered once they come home? Why not? So what's the scam with the coalition's Make Australia Racist Again policy? Scam is, as predicted here a number of times, when they did their nuclear non-policy to disrupt renewable energy, it's not about policy, it's about creating fear and division and distraction, as simple as that. But above all, and this is the tactic going on in the back rooms, News Corp and the Coalition want to depict Peter as bold and decisive. That is the play. And Albo, conversely, as vacillating and weak. That's the play. It's all image, no substance. So Pete doesn't have to make the decision because he's not in government. He just makes the noise. He makes the distractions. So he can look bold and decisive no matter how incredibly rubbish his policies or non-policies are. And News Corp, they did their bit. Captain's call, said the tabloids and the Australian. Captain's call from Pete on immigration, on his blanket ban. He gets the brownies from News Corp for his captain's call. They back him. That is the play. Now, finally today, we see Rex Patrick, our correspondent, our FOI transparency warrior in the courts versus the Attorney General, Mark Dreyfus, fighting to stop government ministers from shredding documents when they leave office. The government's spending money on high-paid lawyers to do this, to fight poor old Rex for the right to shred. The idea being that, you know, you can shred all your document trail on the way out. Rex is arguing, of course, that this is an office that you occupy temporarily, and it is the office which owns the work and the documentation, not the minister who can shred whatever he likes on the way out, to hide stuff from the people who've elected them and hide stuff from history too. We'll get a result on that later today. It's Friday now, and we'll see how we go. But today, Scam of the Week, this prestigious award goes to Hume, Jane Hume. It's her inaugural Scam of the Week award. It's the Australian way to help American billionaire media barons and Irish multinational gambling companies make profits. Sportsbet, whose parent company is Flutter Entertainment, owned by Paddy Power of Ireland. Most of the other online bookmakers are controlled by offshore multinationals as well. That's the Australian way. And unlike some of the coalition who buttoned their lips on Pete's blanket ban, no doubt in total shame and embarrassment, there was Jane too. It's the Australian way, sticking up for the blanket ban. That's our Scam of the Week. It's been a shameful week in Australian politics, and we can only assume that it's going to continue because people are taking this stuff seriously and the media just loves it. Thanks for your support. Like, share, comment in the space below.